On the second Sunday of Lent, we focus on the Transfiguration and the first reading. This moment in the lives of the three apostles, the backbone of the apostolic band, was to bolster their faith in light of the suffering, death and crucifixion of our Lord. It was a moment of glory, a moment of heavenly bliss, when Christ on Mount Tabor unveiled his humanity and showed his apostles his divinity. And with him were the two great holy patriarchs of the Old Covenant, Elijah and Moses. Moses representing the law of God, and Elijah the preaching or teaching office of God. And that reminds us that what Christ suffered and endured was foretold, predicted for centuries, written down. It was expected and anticipated. And more than likely, says Pope St. Leo, though discussing how our Lord would suffer, where, when, and most importantly, why. Peter, James and John, seeing Christ in glory, went into spiritual ecstasy. It was a foretaste of heaven. And when we get to heaven, we'll never be bored. It would be ecstasy continuous. And we'll never be bored. Interesting, we get bored of the high pleasures of life, but we'll never have boredom of joy of soul. And that's why Peter wanted to stay put. He wanted to pitch camp, build three booths. And the scriptures say he did not know what he was saying, simply because he wasn't yet dead. How can he dwell with God and the saints in heaven while still being alive? He would have to descend from the mountain. But notice, it was on the mountain that they beheld the presence of God. And so often that's the case. Mountains feature throughout the scriptures. Take, for example, the mountain that Abraham had to climb, Moriah. And of course, Elijah climbed the mountain, Horeb, and there found the presence of God. He'd gone for 40 days on a pilgrimage, seeking God. Arrived at Mount Horeb, climbed the mountain, and then there was a big storm, and a wind blew through, and thought God must be in the power of that storm. He wasn't. Then there was an earthquake. Things collapsed. That's so awesome. God must be there. He wasn't. Then, of course, there's a fire that raged. The power of the fire. God must be there. He wasn't. Then a gentle breeze, like we had this morning, passed by, and God was there. Sometimes God appears to us in ways we don't expect. Sometimes he comes in an unseen manner. Sometimes it's very subtle and often very gentle. His presence in the Eucharist is a real presence, and it's subtle, it's gentle, it's not powerful, it's not overwhelming, but it's there. Moses, the other person who appears on Mount Tabor at this great event, also had a moment on the mountain. It was Sinai, and he was up there for 40 days, and not with a gentle breeze, or a storm, or earthquake, or fire, but a cloud. The cloud was the presence of God, and in that cloud he was inspired and transformed. So much so that when he came down, the presence of God glowed within him and cast forth a light that dazzled the others. And perhaps Peter was thinking about that when he too was dazzled by the presence of God. And notice too, the cloud here is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, who is the voice of God the Father, and Christ is the Son. All three persons. So we seek the presence of God in our life. And as St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in his Catena Aurea, we seek the presence of God to keep us faithful, lest fear or phobias dominate and pull us away from doing God's will. It's his presence that keeps us firm, rock sure, and focused. And that's what we understand and learn from the first reading, about Abraham taking his only son up Mount Moriah. We know the story. He was a teenage boy. God had promised Abraham that he would be a father of a vast multitude, as many as the stars in the sky. Abraham depended on Isaac to carry on the family name. And at a young age, God instructed Abraham, I want now to test you. You are to take your son, take him to Mount Moriah. And there on top of the mountain, I want you to sacrifice him to me, a blood sacrifice, and then burn his body. The Jews understood well the meaning of blood sacrifice to take away sin. And God demands the ultimate sacrifice. And that's why we attend Mass. Mass is not a service, it's a sacrifice. Unbloody, it's the same as Christ's offering on Calvary. Now we offer through sacramental signs. Nevertheless, it remains a true sacrifice. Abraham didn't flinch. He knew God's will. He had trusted God throughout his life. And on two other occasions, he was pushed to the wall, and yet he persevered in faith and won out. He was promised a vast land and wealth, property. He lost everything, but gradually regained more. And of course, he lost all his money and regained much back. So he is perhaps thinking, well, God's tested me before and I've been faithful. I'll try this. I've got no choice otherwise. He arrives at Mount Moriah, at the bottom, as the story goes. He leaves the servants there and straps the wood to burn the victim on the back of Isaac. That's significant. What we read is that as they climb up the mountain, the young boy with perhaps big eyes turns to Dad and says, Dad, you've got the knife to kill the victim that we're going to offer to God. I've got the wood to burn the victim. But where is the lamb? Where's the victim, Dad? And I'm sure Abraham didn't turn to his son, but perhaps with a tear in his eye said, God will provide. Yahweh Jireh, which is the meaning of the word Jerusalem, for God did provide a son, his only son. As they get to the top of the mountain, they build the altar with the rocks, and then the wood is laid upon the altar, and I don't know how Abraham convinced Isaac, but he tied his hands, obviously, laid him upon the makeshift altar, picked up the knife, and I'm sure very slowly brought it to that moment. And then God said, stop, stop, you passed the test. Adam failed, but you passed. You're now the father of faith, Abraham. Quick, the angel told him, take that ram and offer that in the place of your son, as a victim, as a holocaust, to worship me. It sounds like a hard test, doesn't it? It's ugly. You might say, what type of God is this that demands a father give up his only son? Well, it's the same type of God that offered his only son, as you read from the second reading. God did not spare his own son. For Christ, centuries later, would climb that same mountain. Moriah and Calvary are connected by the same mountain range. Christ would climb Calvary, and on the way up he had the wood strapped to his back, the cross. And up the top, there was no ram to take his place. So that test with Abraham and Isaac centuries before was to prepare us for what would happen in our salvation. And that's why it occurred. But notice the test is, be faithful to me. Be mindful of my presence. And then don't give in to fear. And Abraham would have had fear. Oh, my future, my son, my only son, my whole livelihood is about to be lost. We trusted in God, even when pushed to the limits. When we feel pushed to the limits in our work, our occupation, money issues, relationship issues, addiction issues, don't give up. Think about the presence of God. Enter into the presence of God. Seek a moment on Mount Tabor with God alone. And the presence of God will invigorate you, instill courage within you, and the fears will pass. As perhaps we don't seek the presence of God, especially through prayer, Eucharistic prayer, that we find fears conquer us so readily. Let us therefore, on this second Sunday of Lent, ask for the presence of God in our life. Rejoice that we are privileged to receive that presence in Eucharistic food for our soul, and give thanks to God, and ask him to take away our fears, and help us to trust in him, for Father, our Father, awaits us one day in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.